you like movies? Then Netflix is the place for you. Would you like to support this podcast? Use the red stamp-shaped Netflix affiliate banner link in the show notes at truckertompodcast.com for a free trial and instantly begin streaming movies right to your computer or TV set-top box. Tango Tango Papa 1456, January 19, 2011.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from, you'll never guess where, home. Let's see. There was no podcast last night. I'm trying to remember when I put up the last podcast. I think I was in wherever it was. I don't even remember. But in any case, I unloaded, now let me think about this, Monday morning. That was right. Early Monday morning, I unloaded in Evansville, Indiana, and soon after I got unloaded, they sent a load that picked up in the St. Louis area, Edwardsville, Illinois, suburban St. Louis on the Illinois side, and then that load delivers to Waxahachie, Texas, and so I was able to come through home on my way between St. Louis, the St. Louis area, and Waxahachie. And, you know, the load delivers Wednesday, which is tomorrow, the 19th, at 6 p.m. So I'll leave here, I don't know, probably 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, give myself plenty of time to get down to Waxahachie. And Waxahachie is somewhat, I don't know, it's somewhat south of Dallas, you know, so not very far. It's kind of in between Dallas and, you know, you could almost say Waxahachie's a suburb of Dallas, but it's a little bit far to be a suburb, but it's not, you know, it's outside of Dallas. It's sort of south, it'd be southwest of Dallas a little ways. So, it's between Dallas and Hillsboro. So, in any case, that load delivers Wednesday evening at 6 p.m., as I said. And then after that, I think I'm going to have to get my truck worked on again. Since I'm going to be very close to Dallas, I think I'm going to end up going to the Dallas yard. Because in the last couple of nights, I started noticing once again, I'm smelling exhaust fumes, and shouldn't be smelling exhaust fumes, you know, when a truck is idling. I'm not smelling it when the truck's going down the road. Now, I had this problem, I don't know, before I took my vacation, I had this problem, and I had one of the shops, I think it was a shop at Lincoln, Nebraska, worked on the problem, among other problems, but that was one of the problems that they worked on, and they did solve it, but it seems to be back at this point. So, you know, just in the last couple of nights, I noticed it. And it's sometimes when you're parked in a truck stop parking lot, you'll smell exhaust fumes, you know, with the truck's idling. And that, you know, it just kind of depends on which way the wind's blowing. But it shouldn't be consistent like that. And in this case, you know, it is. It's kind of consistent. When the truck's parked, I can smell, you know, I can smell some, just a little bit of exhaust. And that's obviously not good, you know, because if there's exhaust, then there's going to be some carbon monoxide present. And that's, you know, you don't want to be around carbon monoxide. So probably I will. I'm thinking that that's what I'll, you know, after the load's unloaded tomorrow, tomorrow evening, you know, sometime tomorrow afternoon, I'll just tell the, you know, I'll send them a message and I'll say, hey, I've got to go to a shop, got to go to the Dallas shop, got this problem that just cropped up, And it's, you know, it's not something that I can really put off. Don't want to put that off, because that's actually kind of dangerous, you know, especially if it gets worse over time. So in any case, yesterday I went right to the place where I was going to pick the load up, and it wasn't, you know, according to the load information, it wasn't going to be, you know, really ready until later in the afternoon or early evening. And had that been the case, you know, it kind of, it would have thrown a monkey wrench into my, you know, I probably wouldn't have stopped through home. But it just so happened that when I got there, they looked it up, and sure enough, the load was loaded. And so I had just enough time to come down to home, and you know, so that worked out. I got home around, I guess it was around 9 o'clock, 9:15 last night. And then, so today I actually met my friend Gene up in Bella Vista for lunch. And then on the way back, I've been looking for a new coat. You know, I carry a variety of coats with me, a heavy coat, you know, and some, you know, a leather coat and a lighter jack, you know, kind of a lighter, fleece sort of a hood type thing. There's a sweatshirt, right? It's not really a sweatshirt. I forget what you call those, but in any case, there's a name for them and I can't think of it right now. But in any case, was looking, and I looked in two or three stores. I stopped at the mall, and I looked in Dillard's, and I looked in Penny's, and then I ended up going to Kohl's, and didn't really find what I was looking for. And so I went by, there's this place called Pack Rat that has all kinds of outdoor type gear. And, you know, you go into a place like that, it's going to be expensive. And they had what I was looking for. They had a coat that, you know, that was really kind of what I was looking for. And it was more expensive than what I would have paid had I been able to find it at Kohl's or one of those other places. You know, I could have probably gotten a pretty good deal, because I noticed they had their coats marked 60% off, because it's, you know, we're kind of pushing, you know, it's kind of late in the season to be buying a heavy coat. So they're kind of already marking things down, getting, you know, to kind of move the product out. But so I ended up kind of paying quite a bit more than I would have had I been able to find the coat that I wanted at one of those other stores. But, you know, I wanted what I wanted. And so I ended up paying $217 for the coat that I wanted. And but at least I got what I wanted, and it's pretty much exactly what I wanted. And, you know, sometimes you just have to, if you really want something, you kind of, and that's what it is, you got to pay for it. So, you know, I might have been able to buy it online, but I was looking the other night, you know, I looked three times, you know, at different places online that have coats. And the problem, I don't know, the problem with it, you don't really know what you're looking at unless you can actually see, you know, a good example of whatever it is. You know, so it's kind of hard to buy clothing online. Some stuff you can buy kind of sight unseen, but clothing, I don't know, clothing is one of those things that's a little bit more difficult. So, you know, I would almost rather pay a premium and get something, you know, at least where I can see it. Now, I guess what I could do is, you know, find the brand and, you know, find the exact brand in the store and then order it online. But I don't, you know, I'm not around home all that much. And in order to try to time something like that so that I can get it ordered and then get it delivered while I'm here is a big pain in the rear. So I would rather, you know, I was just happy that I was able to buy exactly what I wanted, and you know, in a local store, and I've got it, and you know, and that's, don't have to worry about it. So, so I was able to get that, and as I say, I probably, you know, I ended up paying probably $100 more than what I might have been able to find the thing for online. I really haven't looked yet, the specific brand that I got, but you know, nonetheless, you know, I got what I wanted. So, and I don't know. I don't spend much money on clothing. Clothing is, you know, it's just one of those things that I'm not, you know, I just don't spend much money on my clothes. You know, I wish I had a little bit better sense of fashion, but I don't. So, anyway, as I say, was able to kind of stop by home, and you know, so you know, I'll have been home a little more than. Well, at this point, I've been home, you know, a little more than 25 hours. So, you know, it as I say, it ended up kind of working out, and I'm kind of glad that I was able to kind of work in a day off. So that kind of worked out. It's supposed to, now it was kind of cold here all day. It might have made it up to about 41 degrees, but it's very damp and sort of foggy all day long. I don't think the sun came out at all. I guess in the afternoon they were saying there's a chance that it might start snowing or some sort of precipitation that would change to snow. But at that point, you know, I'm planning on leaving by at least 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I should be gone. And they were saying, well, the snow, at least when I watched it, the weather earlier, they were saying, well, it might start by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so I should already be... I should be at Waxahachie by 5 o'clock, or if not before, so tomorrow afternoon. So I should be kind of long gone, you know, if the snow makes it to this area. They seem kind of adamant that it was going to. They can't really say how much it's going to snow, but, you know, they seem sort of adamant that something's going to happen. And I guess there's a snow that, you know, kind of moving across, you know, parts of Kansas and Nebraska, and, you know, and so it's going to kind of, you know, the tail end of it, I guess, is going to kind of dip down into Oklahoma and then maybe northwest Arkansas where I'm at. So we'll just have to wait and see, you know, how that works, but it, you know, it's... as I say, I'll be long gone by the time, if it does snow here, I'll be gone way before it, you know, hours before it can even has a chance to start. And then later on in the week, it's supposed to warm back up, and then maybe another chance of snow rolling back around, you know, and that's kind of typical, that's kind of typical winter weather. It kind of, you know, you get some kind of precipitation, and then, you know, it'll kind of clear off for a while, and then maybe warm up a little bit, and then, you know, it kind of cools off again, and it's really typical for this area. So, I was taking a shower this morning, and I don't know, one of the things that I think about all the time are the, you know, how people, you know, what's wrong with people? Why are, you know, what kind of, you know, in the last podcast I was talking about, you know, the sort of the angry left type of person, you know, and how would you contrast that with someone that was more reasonable like Ayn Rand? And, you know, like, you know, for example, now Ayn Rand, you know, really considered herself to be an atheist, yet she wasn't an angry atheist, you know, not like the typical angry leftist type atheist. And Ayn Rand was anything but a leftist. And that got me to thinking, well, you know, what is it that causes, you know, that can cause the angry leftist, and it's exactly the same thing that causes the angry person on the right. Now, and it ends up destroying both of them, by the way. And so, I happen to remember a number of years ago, way back when I used to have to listen to the radio before, MP3 players and before podcasting, a number of times I listened to, there was this guy named Frank Zappa. He was a musician. Frank Zappa was, you know, he was a musician, I think, from the 60s or whatever, and he's an angry, really an angry leftist type. And so in the 80s in particular, and I think it maybe in the early 90s, he died, you know, I think around age 50, he died, might have been a little older than that, but he didn't, if he did make it to eight, you know, he didn't make it far into his 50s, but, you know, I remember him being interviewed on the radio. You know, Art Bell, I think, interviewed him a couple of times. And the guy, you know, he'd say some controversial things, but he was really angry. And you could kind of, you know, and there's a number of interviews. And so I went onto YouTube and I downloaded, didn't really, you know, because there's a bunch of Frank Zappa interviews on YouTube, but I found a couple in particular, you know, and I don't know if I found the best examples, but there was this one where there's this crossfire program, and this piece of audio that I'm going to play is about 21 minutes and 17 seconds, and I may or may not interrupt it, but he's on there. There's this program that CNN used to have called Crossfire, and you had, what's that columnist's name? He's dead now. Robert Novak. He represented the right. And then they had whoever they had on the left. And then they had Frank Zappa. And then they had, some other columnist that was, that was kind of representing the, you know, sort of the Republican type side, you know, and both of these guys, it's kind of ironic. Now, Frank Zappa sounds fairly, he sounds fairly calm, but, you know, especially kind of put up next to this kind of lunatic, angry, guy on the right, you know, Frank Zappa sounds sort of calm, but, you can kind of, both of these guys are wrong, you know, and what they have, what, you know, even though they may seem to be diametrically opposed, what they have in common is their rage and their resentment. Now, I don't know what happened to this one guy. I have no clue what happened to him, you know, the angry right guy. But Frank Zappa died of, you know, some horrible, you know, it's like he died of, you know, like cancer or some sort of cancer or something. And I think that it was, you know, probably because of he had this anger, this burning rage, and he, you know, in every interview I ever heard him give, you could tell he was just filled with it. And even though he kind of came across as calm, it ate him up. And so anyway, let me go ahead and play this. This is probably from sometime in the 80s. They didn't really give a date on the, you know, on this program on YouTube that I could find. Couldn't find a date for this anywhere, but you know, it's kind of interesting. And Frank Zappa, you know, he seems to make some interesting points, especially, you know, you can see why, you know, as he argues with this guy, and this guy calls him, you know, calls Frank Zappa, basically calls him stupid, and, you know, the angry conservative, I guess you'd say. You can see why somebody like Frank Zappa, you know, would just think, well, my God, if these people are that way, then, you know, if that represents religion, I want nothing to do with it. If that represents, you know, morality, I want nothing to do with it. And so, you know, and then they try to go exactly in the opposite direction. And, you know, so anyway, here, let me go ahead and play this. This is from the old CNN program Crossfire.
Crossfire. On the left, Tom Brayton. On the right, Robert Novak. In the crossfire, Washington Times columnist John Lofton and rock musician Frank Zappa.
Good evening. Welcome to Crossfire. What you've got here is suggestive, and I don't find it objectionable. But when you actually listen to the words of the songs, you get a shock. personally, I find some of them in such bad taste as to make me physically ill, and some of them I wouldn't have in the house. Now, on the other hand, do we want the government to ban the sale of records with lyrics the government doesn't like? Do we want the government to say this is okay, but this one will have to go? And who should be the government censor? Whose job should it be to listen all day to dirty records and decide whether you can? Do you want censorship of records as is now being proposed in Maryland and in congressional hearings, or do you want to make the decision on your own? Take it or leave it, all by yourself. Bob?
Mr. Zappa, let me see if I can get your position straight. Are you saying that there is no filth, no pornography, no obscenity that should not be permitted to be sold and distributed freely in this country in the form of music videos and rock music?
I don't think that music qualifies as pornography. And especially since this whole business started with words. We're talking about words here.
All right.
All the complaints were about words.
All right, take the pornography out there. Is there no filth, no obscenity that you think would qualify to be suppressed?
We're talking about words, and I don't believe that there is any word that needs to be suppressed. There's no scientific or realistic reason why you should keep people from hearing certain words.
So they
words.
Should, yeah, they should even, there's, Mr. Man, let me just follow that up.
There are certain words you use that are to describe an act of fornication which are brutal.
So?
Well,
how about putting that on the radio? That's not permitted to be put on the radio. Do you think it should be?
Yes.
You think it should be on the radio?
Absolutely.
And on television?
Absolutely.
And
in politics.
I don't really understand.
Because
that.
It's already in politics. I think that if you use the so-called strong words, you get your point across faster and you can save a lot of beating around the bush. Well, why are people afraid of words?
Well, look, Mr. Zappa, we're not talking about just words. When we talk about rock videos, we're not talking about rock videos.
I beg your pardon, but whole thing is words.
I beg your pardon, but what they're trying to
They're selling it with rock
what
videos.
What they're trying to restrict in Maryland is also obscene rock videos.
No, they are not.
Well, no, they're trying
words.
To apply the obscenity language to videos and to records. But why do you underestimate the power of words? Words have consequences. They have impact on people. Now, I agree with you that the first line of responsibility is the family to stop the kind of garbage that we're talking about here today. But good grief, can't we call on our government to help us in this fight, Frank? I mean, you have kids. Are you an anarchist? Is it the government's role to do nothing about this?
No, I'm a conservative, and you may not like that, but I am. And the fact of the matter is, this bill that they're talking about in Maryland is stupid.
So, what is the function of government, Frank, the civil government? Isn't it to, in part, promote general welfare and to help protect families?
Do you think that you're protecting somebody by taking away seven words?
It's not just words.
It is words. It's about words.
Words also connote ideas, Mr. Zappa. Are you for songs that portray incest as just another kind of sex and perhaps even preferable sex? Are you for that?
Would you ban the mention of any incestual activities? Would you?
Well, why don't we make a pact?
Then why don't you better take a look at the Bible and see what's in there, what happens after Sodom and Gomorrah.
The Bible does not advocate incest.
But it
condemns it, Frank.
It mentions it.
We're talking about advocacy, Mr. Zappa.
No, we're not. We're talking about words.
No, we're not
talking about content of the words.
Oh, you don't think words connote ideas, huh?
Yes, they can be assembled into sentences and get ideas.
Well, how about answering my question about incest? Do you support records that promote incest as just another kind of sex, or in some instances it might even be preferable? Do you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with it. I have no interest in incest, but I don't think that anybody in his right mind would desire to have the government step in to make sure that they install a censor board that keeps certain things from being said.
Let me ask you something, Mr. Zappa.
Because sometimes the dumbest thing that gets said makes the point for you. And if a person is doing a song about incest, it gives you a chance to say, maybe incest is really wrong. I didn't realize that incest was such a terrible problem in the United States that we suddenly needed government intervention to cure incest in America by keeping words off of records.
Well, of course, incest in America didn't used to be such a terrible problem, did it, Mr. Zappa? That's come about in the last 20 years or so.
Not as a problem.
I understand your position on government censorship, but just you're a musician, you're a producer, you're a big man in show business. Do you think it is a good idea? Let's not say that the government's going to get in this all. Just as a matter of taste, of artistic purpose, you think it's a good idea to write lyrics that says incest is good for you? Does that make any sense?
Well, it might make sense to Prince. That's his business, because that's mainly the song that they're talking about.
Don't you have an opinion on
it? My opinion is he's got a right to sing it, he's got a right to say it,
really?
And I got a right
really?
To not buy it.
Where does that right come from, Mr. Zappa? Where does the right to advocate incest come from?
The song does not advocate incest.
No, there are songs that advocate incest.
Tell me them. I haven't heard.
Says incest.
Well, you ought to get out more. I don't think you're being candid with it. You know what those signs are. Songs are. Now, you said there's a right to do this. Where does the right come from? Your group was called the Mothers of the Invention.
Mothers of Invention. You've got to get out more.
Yeah, and you're a very inventive guy. You make up a lot of stuff, like what was in the mind of the founding fathers. Would you look at the camera and tell them?
Which camera?
Any camera. And
right, tell them. Directing the show?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you certainly need some direction, Mr. Zappa.
Want to spank me here? Come on, what are you talking
about? Well, you into that too, huh? No, I'm not into spanking.
I love it when you froth like
I'm
that.
Sure. Now, would you tell our viewers that what the founding fathers.
I thought he was going to be the one frothing today. I'm glad that you're doing.
Wrong again, Frank. Wrong again. Now,
got a napkin
would
for
would
you
tell
you
us?
Rule.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Now,
would you look in the camera and tell them with a straight face that you think the founding fathers had in mind the kind of garbage you sing and write when they drafted the Fifth Amendment? Do you really believe that, Mr. Zappa?
I don't think it applies. The founding fathers, one thing, kept slaves. And take a look at what Benjamin Franklin used to do over at the Hellfire Club.
But you have repeatedly...
Not exactly
you
a
have
bunch of swell guys. I think they had some good things in mind. But we have a document, the letter of the law.
Yeah.
Let's use the letter of the law and interpret it.
Wait a minute. It is relevant because you have repeatedly, in opposing even ratings for rock music, you have repeatedly cited the Constitution and the First Amendment. Do you think the founding fathers really had the First Amendment, that they gave us the First Amendment to defend songs that glorify Satanism and incest and suicide? You really believe
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
You really believe
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I believe it.
You're an idiot, then. You're an idiot.
Mr. Tell you what, kiss my... How do you
well,
like
take
that,
your teeth
buddy?
Out. Take your teeth out and we'll talk.
Let's cool it
off. Come on, let's get this serious here. Come on, let's...
Mr. Zappa, one thing you did I didn't think you'd do is you
what?
Ducked a question. I thought you'd
Which
ask.
One?
I understand your position in the government. I understand you have an absolutist position on the First Amendment. A lot of people have an absolutist position. But I asked you a question and you ducked it. I want you to tell me if you think that the lyrics saying that incest is a good thing have any artistic value or are in good taste, or if you must have some standards of your own. I'm not talking about the government.
You asked me for my opinion. I don't enjoy that kind of material. I'm not here to sell records for Prince or anybody else.
But you defend it being sold, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, then you're part of the problem.
Don't you think it would be a good thing to say to some of these people to cool it?
No, it's not my job.
What is your job?
My job is to represent myself.
What is your job? You once wrote a song called "We're All in It for the Money."
It's not a song. It's the name of an album.
Is that
right? You ought to get out more.
Yeah. How much money you made peddling this stuff, Mr. Zappa?
Millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars, Mr. Lofton.
All right, look. It seems to me, Mr. Zappa, that you've got to ask these people, both of them are on you, what they would propose.
He's accusing me of doing something that is similar to what that is being argued about. My lyrics aren't in question here.
Really?
They're not.
What would you propose, Mr. Lofton, as the means of censorship?
Well, I said I agree with Mr. Zappa that the first line of defense and responsibility is the parents. But what I do not agree with is that the parents have to stand alone, and we are not entitled to call upon our government to help us in the fight against this kind of filth.
What government censor is going to decide for you?
It's not... Tom, I've heard you say repeatedly on this show that we are our government, that we're allowed to call on our government.
Well, you have to have a man who is the censor or a woman.
Well, the way it would work.
To decide this
Tom.
Lofton can hear and this
That's
Lofton
right.
cannot hear.
Tom, it would work the way the implementation of any law works. You pass a law, it has words in it, and then the elected representatives of the people try their best to apply it. It's the way you do it with everything else. Will they apply it perfectly? No. But we're entitled to use the force of our civil government to help protect our families. How could you oppose that? Does the government have any purpose, Frank?
Yeah, it has
what?
A number of purposes.
What is it? Name
I'm
one.
Not going to give you a civics lesson here, but I'll tell you one thing. We must not see eye to eye on the idea of a government that must forbid things in order to
really?
Protect
Really? What is
families?
The government's role? You've told me several times what it shouldn't do.
How about national defense?
Yeah, I consider this national defense, pal. Our families are under attack from people like you with these lyrics.
John, you don't have to buy them.
Mr. Zappa,
could I make a statement about national defense?
Yeah.
The biggest threat to America today is not communism. It's moving America toward a fascist theocracy. And everything that's happened during the Reagan administration is steering us right down that pipe.
Oh, Mr. Zappa, do you really think? All kidding aside, in this country, with the permissiveness that we are moving toward a fascist theocracy, anything goes.
You bet we are, but...
Do you think things like this would have ever been permitted?
Give me that famous smile again.
When we were kids, you're about my age, maybe
I'm
a little
45.
Younger. Well, I'm 55. Do you think when I was a kid that they would permit songs like that to be sold? I mean, permissiveness is the game. You're not really serious if you're saying we're going toward a fascist theocracy.
That's right, we are.
Wait a minute.
In what way? Give me one example
of a fascist theocracy.
When you have a government that prefers a certain moral code mm-hmm. derived from a certain religion, and that moral code turns into legislation to suit one certain religious point of view, and if that code right. happens to be very, very right-wing, almost toward Attila the Hun...
Well, then you are an anarchist. Every form of civil government is based on some kind of morality, Frank.
Morality in terms of behavior, not
well,
in terms of theology.
Well, of course, but look, I mean... I couldn't believe in your
hearing.
Okay, wait a minute, gentlemen. We have to take a break now.
Okay. We're gonna come
and
back.
We'll be back with John Lofton and Frank Zappa talking about rock music, I think, after these messages.
Producer and musician who has testified before Congress that he does not think that rock music, dirty lyrics and all, should be censored.
Or rated.
John Lofton takes the other view. Mr. Lofton.
Yes.
You don't have to buy this, you know. You don't have to buy this music with dirty words.
Well, I guess my concern extends beyond my own family, beyond my own children. I'm concerned about the whole society, the whole country, other people's families.
Can you control what your children are like?
Not completely, but I try. I agree, and I want to say for the third time, I agree with Frank that is the first line of responsibility.
But you can't even control what your children.
No, as they get older, it's very difficult.
No, but you can control what they listen to in the house and the rock.
Tell me how you.
They're rarely in the house.
You hear it, so you just go up and
shut yourselves up in the room, and you can't hear it.
I hear it. I turn it. I go up and I throw the record
away.
You can't
even hear half the things I tell you. You can't hear those things.
All you're trying to get around is the fact that you have an individual responsibility, and I think Mr. Zappa is right. That's as far as it can go.
Well, but, you know, one of the things that interests me is the seemingly totally different worlds that you and I live in, Mr. Zappa. For example, you told this hearing last September that in America, quote, there is a tendency to hide sex, unquote. That is the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard. Sex is everywhere in America. It's on TV, radio, videos, advertising. What do you mean we hide sex in America?
You do hide sex in America because if given the choice between putting erotic sex mm-hmm. into a television show or putting violence, usually it is the violence that is opted
How
for.
How about both?
Putting both in?
Yeah.
Or you mean in a combination?
Well, I mean both. I mean the television is full of sex right now.
It's not really sex. It's full of titillation.
How about advertising? Is that full of sex?
It's titillation.
I see. Mr. Zappa, when somebody mentioned the videos, you said, hey, no, this is not it. Why don't you want to talk about the videos?
The reason I don't want to talk about the videos is the issue came up over the lyrics and what they have done in trying to promote the issue. If rock videos did not exist, they wouldn't have had those flashy little bumpers to put on before each of the local news shows when they would do a story on this.
Do you feel differently about rock videos then, that they should be censored?
No, I don't. I just think that you shouldn't even discuss them when the topic is words.
But I mean, we can discuss anything we want.
Oh, sure. But
you think anything goes on the rock videos, just like anything goes on the lyrics?
Sure.
I'm told that there is a rock video that it's about to come out that has a school teacher undressing in front of a student.
It's out already. It's one of the ones they use for bumpers. They showed it at the Senate hearing. It's called Hot for Teacher, and the group is Van Halen.
What do you think of that?
I think it's amusing.
amusing that
Why do you think the kids should
because see? Tell me what it's about a little bit. He thinks it's amusing that you might have a grade school class that is hot for teacher in a sexual way. Why is that amusing?
Why shouldn't it be amusing?
Well, you're not smiling. You don't look too happy about the
Well, why should I smile sitting here with you?
Well, you can fake it, right?
I like him better than you.
Is that
a rough
about
idea
about
of what's going on
it
here?
It sure does. But, of course, I had that before I came here. What's amusing about it?
That is amusing to the people who like the concept of here comes the teacher. Mm. You expect the teacher to be sour. The music starts. The teacher takes off her clothes, and she is wearing some kind of a bathing suit like in a beauty contest and does a dance on the desk, and the kids look up, and they are having a good time.
Well, that's a real laugh riot, Frank. Mm. Now, look, one of the things I don't understand is someone who writes why you have repeatedly denigrated words and said, well, something's just words. You know, Adolf Hitler used words very effectively. It was called the big lie, and what it resulted in was 6 million Jews being put in ovens. Now, why do you say that words aren't important and don't have consequences?
I didn't say the words weren't important.
What do you mean when you say just words?
This argument basically is about the 7 dirty words that the FCC complains about. And that's what it is. And I don't see any reason to keep people from hearing those syllables put together. Those are not magic words. That's not abracadabra. You're going to turn into something.
Do they have an impact, you think?
Certainly they do. And it depends on how they're used and in what context. In fact, the big one, the one that starts with the F, has maybe 15 different ways in which it can be used in language.
Mr. Zappa, you were talking about the social background of the Founding Fathers, so you're a student of American sociology. But let me ask you this. Do you think this country, you get around this country a lot, I'm sure, do you think that the lyrics of these songs reflect the real spirit of this country?
It reflects certain aspects of the spirit of this country.
You think it does?
If you don't like the spirit, then change the things that make the spirit happen. In other words, if you have kids that are rebellious, and you have kids who are hopeless, you have kids who go to drugs, then give them something to hope for.
Like what? What would you tell a kid he ought to hope for nowadays, Frank?
What I tell kids, and I've been telling kids for quite some time, is first, register to vote, and second, as soon as you're old enough, run for something.
And you really think that's going to give kids hope to tell them to go register for vote?
Mr. Zappa, when you
Well, I don't know whether it makes them commit suicide, but I think it gives them a little bit more hope.
Mr. Zappa, when you were testifying in Annapolis yesterday, I think, or this week, at any rate, they had some kids from New York picketing outside who were from a school for the mentally disturbed, and they said that the rock music almost ruined their life, rock music really disturbed them. Didn't that give you some pause as to maybe you were making, you might be an error on this question?
Well, see, you're an error as to where those kids came from. It's not a school for the mentally disturbed. It is a place called Freedom Village run by a man named Pastor Fletcher A. Brothers, a Christian organization. He collects money for it. They have a farm in upstate New York. I've dated Pastor Brothers on the radio before. I've also seen his literature. Basically, what he has done is taken the children who have come to his place for rehabilitation. I don't know where he gets them, who sends them, but he carts them around the country in the Freedom Village bus and makes them go in and testify as to all the bad things that happened to them before they came to his place, and then he connects it to rock music. Wait a minute. Let me tell you some of the things that are included in this man's literature. He sends out this folder, it's about this thick, that has a list of different people in rock and roll, their names, their records, and their crime against humanity, so to speak. Some of the people who are included in this list are Stevie Wonder, and his crime is that he has an album that mentions astrology. In his folder, there are 2 or 3 mentions of astrology and maybe 3 or 4 mentions of Hinduism. He cites The Who because they had a Hindu prayer on one of their albums. And I question him on the air.
Let me ask you about something you said. I want to talk now. You've talked for a little while, okay? I think your answer about where hope is supposed to lie shows the bankruptcy of what once used to be the radical message. We have millions of kids in this country, Frank, who may be suicidal, who see no meaning in life, see no hope in life, and you're going to tell them that the hope is in registering to vote, Frank? Are you serious?
Are you trying to dissuade them from registering to vote? Are you trying to dissuade those kids from running for office? Is that what
you're
doing?
I mean, we're talking about kids that don't know the meaning of life, Frank, and you tell them to vote?
We are out of
time. That's no answer.
We want to thank Mr. Zappa for being our guest on Crossfire, and John Lofton for being our guest on Crossfire. Bob and I will be back in just a minute. I take it you don't like the records any more than I do, but who's to be the censor? Should you be?
Well, I don't know about that either. I'm a First Amendment man, but I'll tell you what I do know, Tom, and I think you'll agree with me. The idea that parents are going to tell their kids what they can and what they can't hear in this day and age is ridiculous. I mean, they're no more able to censor their kids than you want the government to censor everybody else.
No, some of them will get the records, but I just don't think it's possible to draw the line for somebody to sit
I'll
and say,
you,
Stevie Wonder is all right and this guy's got to
go. I'll
tell
you where the censorship should come from. It should come from the industry, and they should have a little more self-policing and a little more self-control, in my opinion.
I think that's a good idea. From the left, I'm Tom Braden. Good night, Prospect.
Right, I'm Robert Novak. Join us again next time for another edition of Crossfire.
If you would like to comment on tonight's program, write to CNN Crossfire, 111 Massachusetts Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20001.
Okay, so there was the old Crossfire program with Frank Zappa on there. He was one of the guests. While I was playing, I looked that up. That appearance was in 1986. Crossfire lasted, I guess, in one form or another with different people on it up until 2000. I believe it said 2004 or 2005 when CNN finally did away with the program. But, I don't know, it was kind of interesting just listening to them argue back and forth. And they were, you could tell, as I say, Frank Zappa was, he came across as pretty calm and so on and so forth. But you could tell that he really resented what the other guy stood for. Now, the other guy is still around. What was his name? John Lofton, I think. He's still around. He's still a columnist and probably still appears on different TV shows from time to time. But Frank Zappa died, sometime in the maybe early to mid-90s. He died of prostate cancer. But he was really, really angry, kind of seething rage underneath. He kept it, at least when he was in public, he kind of kept a lid on it and kind of appeared calm and reasonable. But, the problem, people think that that they're justified, having their rage. They think that their rage justifies them. And it doesn't matter whether they've got, what their intentions are. If they think that, if you think that your rage is something that's good somehow, or it's good for you to have it, and a lot of people think that way. They think, you may listen to me and you may hear me say over and over again how terrible it is. It hurts no one. When you hold on to your resentment, it's not hurting anybody but you. You hear me say that, and it may go in one ear and out the other, but somewhere in the back of your mind, you can't let go of it. You think, oh, it's really a good thing. You may think, oh, it's a guilty pleasure that I have, or I'm going to turn this resentment into something positive. You can't. You cannot. It's not possible, because that resentment, you're literally playing God, and that's a sin. I'm sorry, we're going to dust that word off and put it back in the vocabulary. And you can have somebody on the other side, the other side of the argument, the guy that's on the right side of the argument, and they have rage, and they're, they'll get right up in somebody's face, like he did. They were those people, they were right in each other's faces. If you watch the clip on YouTube of that show, they were kind of sitting right next to each other, Frank Zappa was just, was pretty much, didn't wave his arms around. He appeared to be very calm, whereas that other guy, Frank Lofton or whatever, John Lofton or whatever his name was, he was kind of waving his arms around and, You know, so, but either way, you know, one is sort of a, you know, a projection of the other. You know, one appears to be the opposite of the other, but both sides, you know, evolve each other. You know, the left kind of grows out of the right, as the left is sort of a reaction to the right, and you know, a hypocritical right. And you know, but the problem is that if you have a hypocritical right, then these people get mad. They think, if that's religion, I want nothing to do with it. And they try to, you know, say they're atheists and throw religion out, and so on and so forth. But they've got their rage, and their rage, you know, is, you know, in the end, it doesn't matter which side you're on. Devil doesn't care whether you're on the left or the right. It doesn't matter. Because, you know, as long as you've got the rage, you know, you have your rage and you won't let go of it, you've lost. And, you know, so it's an interesting, you know, it's interesting to kind of listen back and forth to these people sort of argue. You know, and there, you know, and as long as people argue with resentment, you know, they have resentment and they're arguing resentfully, you know, whether they're willing to admit that they have resentment or not, as long as they're arguing back and forth resentfully, nothing ever gets solved, ever. You know, so, but it's kind of interesting to listen to, and it's, you know, it's, this sort of illustrates, you know, wrong people on both sides of the argument. Because Frank Zappa, obviously, he was, you know, if you listen to him, and as I say, you listen to him in other interviews, you can kind of tell that he's just really trying to provoke the, you know, the other people. And then the other, you know, that other guy, you know, he really got, the Lofton guy really got provoked. But what did it solve? You know, and Frank Zappa ended up dying, you know, as I say, he died some, you know, maybe he might have lived till about 1995 or so, and then he dropped dead, and that was the end of him. You know, his anger didn't do him any good. So, but it's just really an illustration of, you know, if you hang on to your anger, if you hang on to your rage, if you hang on to your resentment, then you lose. Now, I've got another clip here. This was Frank Zappa being interviewed by Larry King, and this is 9 minutes and 13 seconds. So here's that.
Tomorrow night's guest will be Mike Farrell of MASH. Our next guest, we don't have really enough time to spend with him. We will promise you other appearances on both television and radio. For the formidable rock musician, publisher, composer, father of future stars, Frank Zappa. Mr. Zappa has become a cult hero and has remained at the top for a long, long time. Rather than just hopscotch all over the board, we'll touch some current areas. And if you'd like to talk to Frank Zappa, the area code is 202, the number 342-6900. We'll try to see if you can see this. Mr. Zappa has published his own warning and guarantee to go on record albums. What is this about, Frank?
Well, can I read it, or would you read it, or?
All right, it says, this album contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. In some socially retarded areas, religious fanatics and ultra-conservative political organizations violate your First Amendment rights by attempting to censor rock and roll albums. We feel this is unconstitutional and un-American. As an alternative to these government-supported programs designed to keep you docile and ignorant, Barking Pumpkin is pleased to provide stimulating digital audio entertainment for those of you who have outgrown the ordinary. The language and concepts contained herein are guaranteed not to cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and the pointed stick conducts his business. This guarantee is as real as the threats of the video fundamentalists who use attacks on rock music in their attempt to transform America into a nation of check-mailing nincompoops in the name of Jesus Christ. If there is a hell, its fires wait for them, not us. You sound angry, Frank.
Well, I am.
At?
I resent encroachments on the First Amendment because I'm a constitutional fundamentalist.
And these encroachments are taking place how?
Well, they take place every day, but especially since the Reagan administration has taken power, I believe he must owe an awful lot to the group of video evangelists that he does business with.
Because they're talking about rock music and lyrics and what's on records and what kids are listening to.
It's not just that, because the influence of fundamentalist theory, let's call it, in American politics is, I think, beyond the limit of what the government should tolerate in terms of church meddling. After all, these people pay no taxes. They're getting a free ride. The IRS can't look at their books. And you've got a president that owes them a lot because they use their television stations to help get him in.
But they have a right of free speech, which you would defend.
Of course, I defend.
And they have a right to say, I think Frank Zappa's lyrics are bad.
Of course. Okay. But they do not have a right to pass legislation or influence legislation which influences my life or the lives of people who don't agree with their point of view just because they've got an inn in Washington, D.C. And they keep putting up the smoke screen about government meddling in religion. But really, it's religion meddling in government because of the economic influence there.
Now, what is their goal, do you think? They want to ban albums?
No, their goal is to take over the United States the same way the Ayatollah took over Iran.
You believe that?
I believe it.
All right, in the music area, what is their goal?
Their goal, well, they're using the... right now you have a cotton candy news story about censorship of rock lyrics. They want to rate rock albums, not country and western albums, because country and western music is like God's music, so you don't touch that. But any rock and roll album that has lyrics that describe explicit sex, body function, violence, what they call Satanism, all this, they want to put labels on that.
Like movie ratings?
Like movie ratings, yes.
So that the parent would say, this has a B, don't buy this.
It would. Well, it's not like a B. They have for drugs and alcohol, they have a D/A. All right. And we all know the country and western songs are full of drugs and alcohol and divorce and,
But it wouldn't affect country and western. How do you know that?
Because I debated a woman named Candy Stroud on the CBS Night Watch the Sunday night debate, which will air next Sunday. And I asked her that question on the air. She said no.
It would not be on country and western, only rock.
That's right.
And who would determine the rating?
I don't know what the relationship is between Candy Stroud, Tipper Gore, and Baker. I don't know whether they're friends, they're organized together, but just in what she told me from her point of view, she wanted the record companies to voluntarily comply with this list of demands.
As the movie industry does. That's voluntary. That rating is no law. The movie industry puts a rating on movies. You don't have to submit a movie for it.
Correct. But see, here's the problem with the voluntary submission. In submitting to pressure from a Christian organization, they have a right to their religion, they have a right to their point of view, but they do not have a right to control the world. Okay? I don't think anybody's got the right to do that. Now, that's what's up their sleeve. By submitting to the voluntary rating thing, you validate their point of view, because their point of view is sex is sin. References to sex is sinful. Children should not know how biology really works. Children should not know about certain sexual practices. Children should not hear this. Children should not hear that. Okay? I don't think that the record industry is correct, because certain steps have already been taken by some people in the record industry to agree with part of their program. I read that in Variety today, that Gordikoff, representing a number of labels, has said we will rate, put stickers on certain things, and denied some of their other requests. But you shouldn't cave in at all. Never bend over for a Christian. You know, when somebody says, if you'll just do this for us, think of what the ramification is. That's the foot in the door. The snake oil salesman is going to come in there and tell you to move your furniture around.
Don't you think, for example, the movie ratings are a good idea? Would you want your 12-year-old to see blood, gore, and violence? And when you see an R and they don't let him in, isn't that pretty good thinking of an adult society for their children?
Well, think about
without
it
without barring the picture from being shown.
Okay, think about it this way. We live in Los Angeles. There are many cable stations that can watch. And the variety of types of things that you can see, including sometimes 7 channels of religion in Los Angeles. So it's a very good variety of stuff, and they watch it all. Of course, they have their favorites. I have 4 children, and they all have different things they like to watch. You know what I tell them not to watch? Don't watch a television show with a phone number at the bottom of the screen. Or if you see a man in a brown suit smiling too much, that's always dangerous.
You don't like religious people very much.
No, I do like religious people, but I say, if you think about what the Bible says, when Jesus got very angry when he found people doing business in the temple, and that's what you've got. Just because a man can afford his own television station and thinks that because if he calls his business a religion, he will not be taxed, the IRS can't look at his books, and he can exert all this political influence and then use the money to buy more television equipment, you know, he becomes his own little government. I don't like that.
Similar to the past interview, Frank, forgetting the legalistics.
Okay.
The First Amendment is pretty clear.
Yeah.
We can't suppress language. Why would you, for example, if I came out with a record that said, let's go out and kill cops, let's go out and rob banks. Mm-hmm. You might say that's in pretty poor taste and that's purporting an illegal act, and while I have a right to say it, you can question my ethical values in promoting a record, a rock record to kids telling them to rob banks. Mm-hmm. Why would you have a rock record that says, let's sniff coke? Well, I mean, why ethically would you do that?
Well, let me explain to you one thing about the rock and roll business. See, I do not speak for the rock and roll industry. And I wouldn't, and they wouldn't want me to because I don't agree with their practices. Basically, the rock and roll industry is a business that sells whatever product they can sell. And it's the law of supply and demand. If somebody wants to hear a record that says, let's go sniff cocaine, they're going to buy it because they are sniffing cocaine.
How do you feel about that, though?
I don't like it. I'm not consuming it. You know, I think that it's not for me, but I wouldn't deny somebody else the right to hear it. I don't think of it as music.
An adult society has to do with regard to children?
Sure. They should protect the welfare of the children. And one of the things that you do for a child is prepare that child for the real world by giving it the type of information it needs in order to deal with the real world.
So that when they hear Let's Sniff Coke, they don't go out and sniff
That's
it.
Right.
Because they've been prepared, right? Not because the record
right.
told them to do it.
Right.
We will take your phone calls for Frank Zappa. He has many thoughts on many things, and I promise you on the next visit, either here, radio, wherever, we're going to be here a long time. We'll talk about lots of other things. We'll take your phone calls for Frank at 202-342-6900, all lines going, right after this. Live on CNN.
Okay, so that was the end of the clip. So Frank Zappa, I mean, he sounded reasonable, but his big problem was, and he said it right up front, that he resented, he was angry, he was judgmental, basically, and that kind of ruined his entire argument, and as it does with the argument on the other side. It people make arguments all the time, you know, people on the right, people that are conservative, you know, will make all kinds of arguments, and their resentment, their judgment, kind of just negates all of it. And, so it gets to the point where eventually people go to war, and it's just, ultimately because they won't give up their judgment. And that's really what's wrong with human beings. It's right at the very root of what's wrong with human beings. And so pretty interesting stuff. Anyway, probably better be cutting this off. We're almost at an hour. I need to get this uploaded and get headed to bed so I can get up in the morning and get out of here, get headed down to Waxahachie, Texas. In any case, hope everyone is having a great week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.